Well, to make up for the insult to Jesus, Starbucks is writing the apostles' names on cups. So you get a Matthew skinny mocha grande latte, no whip. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, Chicago Tribune film critic Michael Phillips, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who doesn't know whether to go with a leaf blower or a leaf sucker, Michael Feldman.
Yeah. Well, I blow them when they can suck them. They just go all over if you blow them. Does anybody have a leaf sucker? Because I swear I never had a leaf sucker. One of them.
No?
Maybe you had it on backwards. Okay. Well, why, you know, instead of blowing them, isn't that a better idea? And then suck them in your neighbor's yard, something like that. Instead of blowing them into your neighbor's ear. Okay. Yeah, okay, Starbucks cups, I guess you're talking about. They're just a color scheme, you know. It's kind of blown out of, you know, out of shape here, I think. Speaking of blowing. Just a color scheme. Now people are saying that red-green hates Jesus. And that's so unfair. Okay. A little public television joke for you there, kids. Of course, some of us thought the Starbucks cups should be blue and gold, but still, you know, we're not complaining about it. I did think the Dunkin' Donuts Dunkin' Jesus cups were in bad taste, though. The budget deal turns out to be the final solution for baby boomers. Cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Viagra coverage. What's left? Modifying his rhetoric, Donald Trump now says Ben Carson is the child molester type. You know, like a pathological liar can't be president. What's the big deal? Come on. Just about have to be to get there. Anyway, you'd think a pathological SOB would be a little more sympathetic, really, to any other pathologies. Day one, President Trump will deport Rubio, although the cheerleader can stay. And it's electroshock for Ben Carson. Well, no, Marco Rubio has made a breakthrough when kids in the pool shout, Rubio, to Marco. Jeb Bush is on Rockstar Energy IVs. No results so far. I will tell you, left to Jeb, though, baby Hitler grows to a ripe old age. Yes, sir. There's a statement. Campbell's recalls 355,000 cans of SpaghettiOs for spaghetti typos. At Joe's Crab Shack now, you only have to tip in months with R in them. Oh, did you hear that? Pretty good there, the crab thing. Russia is doped from the top on down, they've discovered. Something in the borscht, I believe. The two Chinas are talking. Obama and Netanyahu are meeting next. My wife and I will enjoy a quiet meal together. That's a personal note for you. Orange Friday is the new Black Friday. I don't know what useless thing I don't need I'm prepared to fight for on Black Friday. I have to think it over. The Utah judge's order has been reversed, and now lesbians are being given babies left and right. The Mormon Church says a same-sex multiple marriage is unnecessary because we already have football teams and women's rowing. Obesity is still rising among Americans, but many claim it's the good fat. I got the good fat. Not a problem. The longest yard scenario for the Packers collapse suggests estrogen in their feed. Someone has slipped estrogen in the Packers' feed. Longest yard, did you see it? Estrogen factored into it. But, you know, they're a much more compassionate team as a result. They bench the clinically obese Eddie Lacy, but he just snacks on the bench, so that's really counterproductive. And finally, Scott Walker says he's available for vice presidential duty, but is willing to start in the mailroom. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much. I don't know what to tell you on that. Do we have Michael yet? He's not on. He is on. He's not on. He's on. You got to put it on the screen there, Lyle. Otherwise, you're doing nothing there. You're just sitting there with the glazed look on your expression. Glazed expression on your look, however that works. Michael Phillips is the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. And I'm one of the better in the country. It's hard to say who's the best film critic. I'm sure Michael would say he was. And there's all kinds of new films out and films that you'll never see that you should and never will. And so that's what we're going to find out today from Michael Phillips in Chicago right now. Hi, Michael. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you for that tepid introduction, Michael.
Well, I don't know. You're my favorite. You know that, Michael. No one can criticize a film like you.
But I'm about the love, too. I've seen some good stuff lately.
I know. But that's what you do. You're a critic has to critique. Or critique more than criticize, right?
Right. Analyze.
Has a film critic ever gone on to make a film? You know, they certainly know what's wrong with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just quote the Cahiers du Cinéma crowd. Let me tone this show up by mentioning that a lot of French film critics like Jean-Luc Godard and François Truffaut, ended up filmmakers.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Have you ever thought of making a film because you know what's wrong with them?
I'm making one right now. This is a key scene in the movie.
A turning point.
I'm sitting here with my Dunkin' Jesus cup, and I'm just thinking of...
the question on everyone's minds is sex, death, and bowling. What happened there?
I'm sorry. Wait, what?
Sex, death, and bowling. You know, the Drea DiMatteo vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I think it's like everything, Michael, I wait for the remake. I never see the original of anything anymore.
It only grossed $50.
Right.
It was the lowest-grossing film in November.
Is $11.50 of that yours, or no?
You know I don't go to movies. I just steal them. And I just do that if I know I'm talking to you, because otherwise I don't know what you're talking about. So you didn't see Sex, Death, and Bowling like anyone else?
No, I did not. I was at Real Movies, I think, when that was playing, and... there's a few we can talk about. I mean, I haven't talked about the best of or the worst of 2015 yet because the year's not over.
Yeah.
Plenty of good movies yet to see, I hope.
No, we'll get to it, Michael. Don't get
this
excited.
This is it.
You know, you do movies, I do radio. Come on, I know how to do this.
Okay.
Sly Stallone, did you see him say that he never passed an English course in his life and look at all he's done? Did you see him?
Yeah. What? I'm sorry?
Did you see him say that?
Who said that?
Sly Stallone. Sylvester.
Yeah. Hey.
Never passed an English course in his life, and look at him now.
Right. Well, and it does often sound like he's still learning that language on screen. But you know what? Creed, the movie that has Rocky as the mentor trainer to this young son of Apollo Creed.
You like
it. It's a really good movie. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. I couldn't believe it. Really good.
Yeah. You've seen it?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Okay. You liked it?
Sure did.
Okay. I know. Did I ever talk to you about Nick Nolte being Jefferson? You know, I want to talk casting decisions for a moment with you. Like the worst casting decision probably that I can think of was Nick Nolte as Thomas Jefferson. Can you think of a worse one?
Why? Why do you think that?
Come on, Nolte as Jefferson?
Well,
I mean, what would America be like today if Jefferson were Nick Nolte?
It would be craggier, you know. It would be a little.
I like Nick Nolte, but not as
horse as a you know as a vocal. You know what though? I don't blame the casting in that case.
No.
You're talking about the movie Jefferson in Paris.
Yeah.
Which is not a classic, and in fact, it hasn't been mentioned in public on radio or otherwise since it was made until this moment.
Well, I'm glad we have.
But
what's the worst casting decision than that?
Uh, Well, it's not a real life character, but I'd have to say that if you're going to pin the American Revolution on Al Pacino in Revolution, did you ever see that?
No.
That was just in that same time frame. Our country wouldn't have got going really. Yeah. I don't think with Big Al in there.
And what's with Jennifer Lawrence? I know you don't do this background stuff, but she's been in the news lately. First, complaining about pay. And I'm sure she's highly paid, you know, but pay disparity.
She's the highest paid female movie star in the country. She's also radically less rich than, say, you know, your Robert Downey Jr. There's pay inequity. She's also a gazillionaire, no question about it.
Yeah, on her way. But she said this thing about guys treat me really bad.
Yeah.
What guys and where?
Well, I you'd be surprised. Look, I don't want to actually take this in a serious direction.
No.
But I think when she spoke out about just being generally having to kind of navigate the world of Hollywood, deal making, the rest of it, I think she was surprised, even after she was a big star, how much grief, patronizing, you know, horse hockey, and the rest of it she had to put up with. And it's not an industry built for fairness or a fair shake for women. So I'm actually kind of glad that.
But she was talking about her dating problems, like guys. Who's going to treat Jennifer Lawrence badly? I would worship her.
Yeah.
If it were appropriate to.
I think if she goes on J-Date, you're all set, pal.
Yeah, J-Date. Okay. What's the best movie none of us will see of 2015?
In 2015, the best one?
That none of us will see except you, possibly.
Let me think. Okay. I'll mention this one because I just saw it. I thought it was really strong. Mm. It's also on Netflix right now. It's called Beasts of No Nation. Have you heard about this?
No, just from your note.
Yeah. It's Idris Elba plays this warlord who's fighting a revolution in an unnamed West African country, and it's just this really wrenching story of a young boy, 11 or 12, who gets caught up in this, one of the child soldiers, and limited theatrical run. It's all over Netflix now. It's one of the best, strongest movies I've seen this year. So yeah, nobody's going to go in terms of your James Bond, Star Wars level box office, but you should check it out.
Okay.
Of No Nation.
All right. You want to put in a vote for the most disappointing or worst release of 2015?
Yeah, I'll give you three right now, man. Okay. Did you see Pan with Hugh Jackman playing Captain Hook? And did you see Pan?
No.
You don't see anything. So, yeah. That was terrible. Really,
it's too easy to pan, though, isn't it? I mean, you come out with a critique
right
in the title. Yeah.
The saddest comedy I saw, the most really, really, really saddest comedy I saw was National Lampoon's Vacation, speaking of reboots. Did anybody there see that?
Yeah, I stole that one just to look at it.
Did you? What did you think?
It was bad.
Yeah, so you feel good about the pirating in that case, yeah.
I don't feel bad about pirating. I feel bad about movie prices.
A lot of these reboots and remakes and restarts of the franchises was just such a headache. The Terminator Genesis, awful. Arnold Schwarzenegger beating his 1984 self up in one scene, literally fighting with his own images from the old Terminator. A good film, the old Terminator.
Yeah.
But the new one, no.
Oh, okay. That's it? On the bad list?
That's about it. I mean, Fantastic Four was the worst superhero film in existence, and that really is saying something.
I know. I stole that and deleted it. It was so bad.
You deleted it?
I did.
So those are some lowlights, but I'll tell you, some good stuff just opened. Some really good stuff.
Tell us some more of the good stuff now.
Good stuff. Spotlight. Have you heard about this? Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo, Rachel McAdams. They play the Boston Globe investigative reporters who broke the sex abuse scandal at the Boston Archdiocese.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Best newspaper movie since All the President's Men, but really just the best, probably one of the two or three best of the year.
Yeah.
Here at Spotlight. Really good.
And isn't Michael Keaton like the unexpectedly the best actor ever?
He's
amazing now.
He's wonderful. And this is an interesting film because it's one of these ensemble pieces where nobody really takes a prominent leading role. And I suspect Keaton will be put up and may win for Best Supporting Actor, but it's really as big a part as anybody else's in in the film, but do you remember fondly All the President's Men? Is that a film that means something to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I honestly think Spotlight has the same kind of impact and quality, and just sort of getting a complicated story right and making it interesting and dramatic, and without a lot of Hollywood nonsense. So it's really good.
Okay, give us another.
What's another good one lately? Well, a great, really good film just opened this week here, Brooklyn. Have you heard about this? Brooklyn. Saoirse Ronan playing this Irish immigrant in 1952, comes to New York City, and it's just a really, really lovely, simple, beautifully acted story about what it's like to really, really deal with all kinds of homesickness when you leave one country for another. Suddenly, I don't know what happened this week, Michael, but they released movies for grown-ups between Spotlight and Brooklyn.
The Oscar rush to get one in for the Oscars?
That's right. These months are pretty heavy with, the studios hope, better movies that might get some awards consideration.
Yeah. What'd you think about Steve Jobs?
You know, I was mixed to eh. I thought
more of a meh. That'd be a meh.
It was a meh. Yeah. It was a meh for me. I thought, I wouldn't have any real quibbles with the acting, but I think in the end, I didn't really buy this idea that he was this egocentric monster who messed up all our lives with technology. I learned to be a better father in the last 5 minutes, and suddenly he was okay. So. I don't know. I think there's a reason that film didn't quite find an audience, despite Michael Fassbender and Kate Winslet, good cast.
He was he was much better looking than I remember him being, though.
He was.
There's that.
He was. Fassbender can really sell those turtlenecks.
If it had been Benedict Cumberbatch, I wouldn't have thought so much.
Not so much, okay.
What about one movie he didn't get? That's pretty good, though.
What's that?
It's one movie you didn't get.
The one. So you want to hear what my favorite popcorn movie was this year?
Favorite popcorn movie was?
Was, in fact, the latest Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. That was one where I thought I went in kind of shrugging, and then came out, thought this is actually the best of the series.
Yeah.
And suddenly it seems like a viable franchise again. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
I liked it, but I thought the Chinese subtitles were really annoying. They were very large.
Well,
and the sound, and some guy kept getting up in front of the screen and, adjusting something, and that ruined the whole, for me at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm a man of the world, I don't mind some subtitles.
I thought it was good, though, in between all that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, good. And I like The Martian a lot, too.
You like the what?
I like The Martian.
The Martian. Okay,
yeah.
I have mixed emotions about The Martian. One, it should have been Ben Affleck on Mars. And I think most Americans would agree on me. If we're going to abandon some actor on Mars, it should be Ben Affleck. Not his buddy. But, I thought it was good. And once again, it wasn't the best copy I've ever seen. But it was good. I like the part where he was learning to survive on the planet and working the science angle on that. And that was really kind of cool, But but getting him back again was just typical sort of thing, what preposterous kind of rescue where he punches a hole in his glove and propels himself towards her while she's waiting there on the end of her tail. That was a low point in film history, I think. Don't you think? I mean, that was just stupid.
Yeah, I've never tried it myself, so I can't say if the science works. But
even if it worked, it's stupid. I don't care. Give her a longer tether, and then we don't have to go through the.
Yeah,
that part of it.
So I liked Matt Damon in that. I think but I take your point about Ben Affleck. If you're going to strand somebody, maybe he'd be a better choice.
But planting potatoes in your own in human waste on Mars to me is what movies are all about. Really, that pushing the envelope of organic farming.
Right.
On a planet.
Well, speaking of somebody who's actually off and on taken. Had organic vegetables delivered from farms over the border here in Wisconsin. I've always wondered what's actually going on. So I'm not convinced that that's strictly a Martian. I think they do that in Wisconsin, too.
Well, organic means grown in poop. I don't know if you knew that out there in Chicago, way out there in Chicago. But you're from Wisconsin. You should understand that much of it.
Please.
Okay, yeah, so The Martian was pretty good. Bridge of Spies. Well, what do you think of Bridge of Spies?
I liked it. I liked it.
Boring. It's boring.
What?
Boring.
Oh, jeez. Change the channel. I mean, then why don't you just go put on the Transformers movies and think a little
boring.
Bit.
Boring. Plus, Tom, what's his name?
Hanks,
yeah. he's in every movie. And we're a little tired. I mean, I like Tom Hanks going way back, but we'd have to be in every movie. Someone else could have been in there in Bridges, and he was boring. It was boring.
Well,
it was slow paced. The director had no sense for any of the exciting. The only thing good was when
Spielberg, that hack. I know what you mean.
Was that him? Spielberg did this?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've never cared for Spielberg.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His wife was very nice, and he divorced her.
I'd like to say, we can respectfully disagree, but when I hear something that's just wrong, I have to say it's not correct.
Well, that's how I feel, too. So, it was slow, and the only thing good was when the U2 crashed, and that was pretty exciting. That was cool. That was a nice thing that happened. But otherwise, it was just slow-paced, I mean, I know it's you're waiting in on the bridge and all that stuff, and so you got to go through the whole thing.
Right. There's not a lot of guns drawn in that movie. It's more about.
I don't need guns. I need a little excitement in my life.
All right. That's why you got a radio show.
Okay. Right. Pan, you didn't like Spectre.
Spectre, I thought was pretty good. I do see the people who say that. I mean, I don't know if it needs to be 2.5 hours.
I didn't get through the whole thing.
Was that right?
I will say worst helicopter fight in history of film.
Yeah.
That was absurd.
Right.
We've seen it before.
We have. In fact, we saw it in Mission Impossible, which is a better film.
Better helicopter fight in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And this was the worst copy I had yet. But I'll tell you. Daniel Craig needs more than no expression. He's the only there are a lot of actors out there, let's face it, who have the one expression and they do that and that's their living. And if you like the expression, then you like the act.
Well,
he has absolutely no expression. He's the first actor with no expression.
He's getting ready for the Buster Keaton story. That's what he's doing. Here's my question to you. What is it going to take? What can I do to convince you to actually pay full price for a movie and see it with the people?
When's the last time you paid full price to see a movie?
I pay plenty, pal. I play penny. Just with the junk I have to sit through, I pay.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel, too, and that's what I don't want to do. I hate actually being physically in the presence of people when watching a film because they're always doing something annoying. People are on their phones. They're eating. They don't eat just popcorn anymore. They have, like, three-course meals, and they're drinking beer and stuff, and they're I can't enjoy it. That's why I do this.
One thing I don't like, I really don't like that whole serving meals at the seats.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, there was some film, and I honestly don't remember the title, but in the first 5 minutes, where we're sitting there watching, the lights are low, and there's this horrible murder scene in the opening credits, no dialogue, very eerie music, like dead bodies, blood on the wall, and then my waiter, who's got like no sense of proportion, says, "Okay, who had the enchiladas?" And it was loud. And
speaking of that, what do you think about Burnt, Bradley Cooper?
Burnt, no good.
No good?
Not too good, no.
Another guy wants to be a chef.
When people say, I don't find this or that protagonist sympathetic, therefore I can't like the movie, I don't really go with that because I think there's plenty of anti-heroes and nasty characters that you can find compelling and go with it. This guy, this chef, this horrible... privileged, awful American chef trying to claw his way to the top of the London restaurant scene is such a flaming a-hole from the word go.
Yeah, don't hold back, Michael.
You just think that's a case where maybe some recasting would have helped because Bradley Cooper does have kind of a, although he's pretty skilled and he's very good in things like American Hustle.
Yeah.
He can really, when he kind of goes 110%, it's annoying.
So you kind of liked it?
No, didn't like it.
Okay. And besides, we're tired of chef movies, aren't we? But what is the big deal about guys thinking that they're chefs or wanting to be chefs or being chefs or anything involving cooking and males?
The best one in that vein, Ratatouille from Pixar. Okay.
Yes, I agree totally. I think I even paid for that one.
Ah!
There you go. And I would pay for it again, but not Burnt with Bradley Cooper. I haven't seen it, of course, but I didn't bother.
Yeah, don't bother.
And you know, just in terms of going back to the James Bond thing again, I mean, what do you think about Craig as James Bond?
I mean, I like the first one that came out 4 movies ago, Casino Royale. Really felt like we really have the right actor in the right kind of Bond movie. That was a great human scale movie. It just totally worked. You know, it got rid of all the worst memories of Roger Moore in space and, you know, whatever. And it was much, much more like it. And, you know, Spectre is more of that kind of gigantic sort of Thunderball type action from the Connery years. It's pretty good. And I do like Craig. I like him more than you do. Cause,
it's not hard.
You know, what's that?
Not hard.
Yeah. There you go. But no, I like Craig. I think he's exhausted with the role. He gave interviews when Spectre was done shooting, saying I would rather slit my wrist than make another Bond movie. Which I think he then got a call from.
I'd pay to see that.
It'd be a shorter film.
Yeah. Plus, we're not in the Ian Fleming era now anymore of Bonds, right?
No.
These are all written by other people, and there doesn't seem to be the humor in them, for one thing.
Yeah. And that Casino, that's why I like Casino Royale so much, because it really did feel like it had one foot in the Ian Fleming world, and it wasn't all Cloud Cuckoo Land, you know. It sort of took place on planet Earth.
Okay. Sarah Silverman is supposed to be pretty good, and I Smile Back. That was
very good, very good. Pretty good movie. It's a very good performance. And talk about heavy. It's short but very intense. A picture like 85 minutes about a woman who's just going through the sort of chemical addiction spiral downward, and really good. And it does not surprise me that someone who's that good at comedy is also that good at drama.
No, it doesn't surprise me, especially her comedy, because before it takes a turn for the comic, it always goes pretty deep into some pretty heavy things, you know.
Yeah.
And then I could see it totally for her.
Yeah, she's terrific.
And By the Sea?
I haven't seen it. Didn't see the Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt.
Are you going to, or are you just going to skip that one?
That one, came and went. It was one of those weeks where 6 or 7 things opened, and, you know, the most I can do without losing my mind is 5. So, you know, 5 a week plus a few other things is usually enough to do it.
By the way, do you actually physically have to go to a theater to see a movie, or do they send you the movies?
No, about a third of them I see at Monday or Tuesday night screenings with the crowd, which I like, and then a third of them I see at a screening room in the Loop here in Chicago about, you know, 10 a.m. noon with a dozen or so other critics. And then there's the foreign language art house stuff, which does come my way on a screener, DVD or a link or something.
Yeah. A good way to ruin a marriage, though, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It's actually, the more ways I can see the movies, the better it is.
No, I mean Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Well, apparently.
It's not all about you, Michael. I don't know where you're coming from.
No, I know. that film apparently is not doing that well at the box office. So hopefully they'll survive it. I hope the best for any couple, Michael.
Really, especially if they're making a film with each other.
Yes, that's right.
And then the Tarantino thing, the big thing about that is sort of how it's being released in what film, what form. I mean,
I like this. The Hateful Eight. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I love the fact that at 100 or so theaters in the U.S., you're going to be able to see Tarantino's post-Civil War Western in 70 millimeter projected on real film, and it's going to have one of those old-fashioned overtures plus an intermission, and it's going to be like 1965 all over again.
Yeah, be like Mad, Mad, Mad World all over again.
Right, we'll see. I hope it's got more laughs than that. I never found that film funny, but I love the fact that it's going to be a huge 70-millimeter screen image for the people that take the time to check it out those first 2 weeks in that format.
Yeah. If it's not boycotted by everyone because of Tarantino and his police remarks.
He did. He did shoot his mouth off at the anti-police brutality rally, but You know, all that I hope quiets down and we can actually just get a look at the film, and I hope it's good.
Yeah. He is a genius, though. Really, wouldn't you
say?
He's
some good ones.
He's a guy you don't want to believe is a genius because he doesn't look like a genius, and he's kind of an annoying human being, but his films have been amazing, I think, really.
I mean, not all of them, but on the high end, absolutely. And it's a little grim to hear so much distraction from whatever the movie actually turns out to be in the months leading up to the release. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the 33, that you like that one a lot, right?
No, I did not.
You did not like that one a lot.
The Chilean miners disaster.
No, I thought you liked that one. No.
No, okay. I didn't.
Okay. What didn't you like about it? Too much underground?
There's too much mining.
Too much mining in that?
Yeah. No, it's just one of those. Sometimes it's one of these good news disaster movies that just kind of doesn't get the human element right in any dramatic way. And even though it's reasonably good shot, it just isn't. It doesn't happen. So.
Okay.
Don't worry about the 33. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Too static for you? All those guys trapped underground for.
What can you do about that? Yeah. I mean, I can't. But
all right, and Michael, before we close on this thing, and I hate saying goodbye to you. One movie you should not miss if you're not going to any other movies this year. What would you suggest?
Right now,
yeah.
Spotlight.
Spotlight is the one.
Spotlight is probably going to win the Oscar. You heard it here. If it wins, you heard it here.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Nice talking
to
you,
Michael,
as always. Yeah. Michael Phillips from the Chicago Tribune, ladies and gentlemen, the best movie critic. Anyway, even though I beg to disagree on some things, how many of you like Daniel Craig as James Bond? Applaud if you do. Applaud, because we're on radio. What's the matter with you people? Okay, I'm not going to ask any other questions. He doesn't have any facial expressions. You like that? What do you like about that? You're probably married to that. Why do you see more? Okay, we're just kidding. We have a lot of fun here. Don't we? Did you see any of these movies, John?
No, but I read all his reviews, why it all sounded so familiar to me.
Yeah.
I read them every day.
Don't you go to the movies anymore?
I do occasionally. I'm like you. There's so much other stuff going on.
I
rappers going, people on their phones.
It's not that I'm cheap. Well,
talking.
It is that I'm cheap. But
so I, if I go to a movie, I like to go like, you know, early Tuesday afternoon or something when there's not many people at the.
And, you know, it's also the fact that for at least 20 years now, my wife and I cannot agree on a film.
Yeah.
The last one, we went to my big Greek wedding, whatever year that was out. And I thought it was pretty stupid, but. You know, she would go to it with me, and nothing since then.
Huh? That's been a while, yeah.
Because she says I like those films that aren't so far out.
Yeah. Well,
I like cinema. I'm a cinematiste. So, what's the last one you saw there in the actual theater?
That's a good question.
Good question, yeah. Think about it.
I can see myself sitting there, but I can't remember what I was watching. So
yeah.
I guess it.
Who were you with? Do you remember that?
I was with my wife.
Yeah. Did you get the extra big popcorn? Or?
I don't think we had any popcorn.
Yeah. Jeff, last movie you saw in the theater?
Yeah. My wife and I saw Gone Girl about a year ago.
Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Boy, I hated that movie. I didn't even want to get a better copy of that one. I just couldn't stand that. Did you like it?
I thought it was interesting. Yeah.
Oh. And Ben Affleck was in it, besides. You know. Should have been Gone Boy, I think, and then they would have got rid of him. Why do I dislike Ben Affleck? Why is that? What about him that don't I like?
I don't know, his acting skill.
Okay, I think it's him.
Yep,
about
yeah,
him.
Just personally,
I don't know if he said something to me one time or something.
I think he probably did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm talking to you.
So this song here, is this...
This is a song I wrote.
Ah.
And it's called, what is it called? Dark Day Dilemma.
Dark Day Dilemma. John Tulian, Jeff Hammond. Jeff Hammond on the bass. Jeff Hammond on the bass. On the bass, Jeff Hammond. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
I feel like you let Jeff down on that. Now, in between here, when he said, who's pushing the envelope on Thanksgiving here with some of this? Now, somebody here has, I'm sure, a stuffing that, this is for you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me go over here and, let me just get over to you. And or you can come over to me if you want. Or we could meet halfway, because that's the kind of guy I am. Okay, yeah, come on down. Take your purse, by all means. No, throw it on your kid there. That's it. Throw your purse at your kid to get rid of it. Yes.
Well, we tried different
things. What's your name, by the way?
Janine.
Hi, Janine.
We tried different things for Thanksgiving. Everybody comes up with something. And my son-in-law came up with cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It was awful. Nobody.
Thank you very much, Janine. Okay. Jeff, I don't think
tasty.
We'll go there anymore. That was just disappointing. Okay, cauliflower mashed potatoes. Catherine Beasley, however, says, would you wish my sister Debbie happy birthday? No, I think, Catherine, you should do that, don't you think? She's your sister. Where is Catherine Beasley?
Right here.
Yes. Is she sitting next to you? Couldn't you do that? She's right. You're shoulder to shoulder with her. And is there something that prevents you? Is there some kind of family history? Excuse me, family history that.
Well, I'm not usually here for her birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Debbie.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right, there you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
We won't sing the song. We'll spare you that. But we'll give you a bottle of booze. How about that?
Absolutely. Celebrate your birthday with Domaine du Sec and Prairie Fumé Wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
All right. Is one enough? One enough?
Yeah, one's enough.
Okay, one's enough. Okay. I thought you, two bottles up. Can you do that? Little trick. That's a Wisconsin thing where we do it. Sorry, I keep tripping over you, but you keep sticking your feet out like it. Look, there you did it again. You put it right back. Did you have to stretch that one out?
I need the attention.
Okay. Because I have a leg where I got to do it. I got to stretch out the one leg. Do you have that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We have two artificial knees.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you get a real one next time?
Don't know.
All right. Are they doing good for you? Are they working?
Yeah, doing fantastic.
But they lock up like that, do they? You got to oil them. Okay. Do you think a man bun might look good for you? A man bun? Betsy Hovde of Appleton, Wisconsin. Explain, please. He doesn't have a man bun. You're with him. Can I get you to stand up here? He's got the classic crew cut.
Yes, he does, and we like it that way.
Have you ever considered a man bun?
Not for a moment.
Why do you think I should consider? That's the last place I can gather hair on my head.
They have clip-on ones now.
That I might consider, or and then put a bump up under there.
Yes, yes. It's a look that a lot of men shouldn't be wearing, but are. Yeah.
But you're not actually in favor of that. You just.
No, no.
It would look unusually stupid.
Not stupid, but, it's a look.
What's your name?
David.
David. Have you ever had a different hairstyle than just a...
I have had a different hairstyle, yes.
Were you long-haired, quite shaggy?
Quite a bit longer. Not shaggy, but a lot longer.
Yeah, and then what happened?
I got it cut.
I mean, was there an incident or something? Were you incarcerated and you had to... or did you join the military and they just...
No, finally my mother wore me down.
Did it?
Yeah.
What age was that?
I must have been 19, yeah. And I got it to here and then it slowly crept up my head. And I can't imagine going back to that.
At least you can if you want to.
I could, I suppose, if I had the patience.
Well, very nice to meet you both. From Appleton, right?
Yes. Oh,
okay. Nice to have you here. We're going to go right to the What Do You Know quiz, aren't we? Because I'm feeling that we really need... you can applaud. Yes, the Hovdes, ladies and gentlemen. And the sisters. And it's their birthday. And the man with the two knees. Okay. Well, let's play the quiz, right? So we had a lot of timer. Is it too soon to play the quiz, Stephanie?
No, it's a good time.
Good time, because yes. I thought we'd... Okay, so we're going to do that right now, and then we'll come back, and we'll find out who else is here with buns and knees and such things as that, and sisters. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz. Oh, yes. Sir, would you come over here to the aisle, and I will cook like you mean it. Are you a cook?
No, I just found the T-shirt actually in the side of the road and washed it and took it home.
Okay. He has a cook like you mean it, but he doesn't cook. He just scavenges. Okay, and you are?
My name's Bo.
Bo, are you from around here?
Janesville.
Okay, Bo, I'll give you that. All right. Get out of your way.
Okay, here. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, my wife was taking Lady Viagra, but it saves her a headache.
It gave her a headache.
Oh, it gave. I've had 20 minutes to get this right. Yeah, read it. Right. My wife was taking Lady Viagra, but it gave her a headache.
No, it saved her headache. Even better,
I think. I apologize.
No.
Okay, I'm not sorry. Three. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they're not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. No, take that with you, because it's correct the spelling on that, if you would. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them. At the What Do You Know quiz. Now, a lot of people hiding in back here. I can see you from here, so if you want, you're just hiding in back thinking that you don't want to, birthday girl, I'm sorry. You've been preempted by the birthday girl. Come on down here, dear, and let's just see if you qualify for the quiz, because it's more than just having a birthday. You know that.
I know that.
How are you?
I'm great.
And your name once again is?
Debbie.
Debbie. And this is your sister? You can swear to that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you the big sister or the little sister?
She's the big sister. I'm the baby of the family.
The baby of the family, okay. All right, Debbie, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, even if I don't know what I'm talking about, I can act like I do.
I made a living at it. Very good. Come on up, Debbie. Walk this way, or whichever way you want to walk. Careful on here, because this is often fatal.
Yes.
We've lost a lot of hosts on this. You've got two fake knees?
And a fake hip.
And a fake hip? You got one real one, though. That's still good.
That's good.
Does your fake hip get along well with your real one?
Not really.
Not really? No, they're... Okay. All right. Anything else you're going to get replaced?
I think that's enough.
That's enough. I think that's pretty good, actually. Everything going okay as far as that goes?
Could be better.
Could be better, All right, Debbie, let me just get here. What do you do in life as we know it, Debbie?
I am a nurse here in Madison.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you at?
UW Health.
UW Health, the fighting Badger Health.
I work at an ear, nose, and throat clinic.
Ear, nose, and throat. Well, could you look at this? I didn't see that. The throat, ear, nose, and throat clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a separate clinic?
Oh, yeah. It's a specialty clinic.
Do they do all the body parts in separate buildings at UW now?
In separate clinics, they do.
Have you always been ear, eye, nose, and throat? Or
there's no eye in it. It's just ear, nose, and throat.
Oh, the eyes are a separate clinic.
They are.
Okay. Are they next to one another, at least?
No.
They
used to be
together.
That's you're showing your age, Michael.
Ah, that's unusual for me. Okay, and then...
but I'm
I guess
the
let's
same
talk
age.
About something else then. Okay. And, okay, that's good. Okay, never mind. Every organ has its own building at UW, pretty much.
Well, some of
our
the clinics are in the same building, but but there are a lot of specialty
clinics.
Like
the kidneys probably would share a building.
Yeah, with urology.
Okay. With urology, which covers a lot of other things as well.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Okay, the same neighborhood. Okay.
I let's talk about something else.
What do you
do
for
here.
Kicks? Are you a dancer or do you like to dance? Or?
I like to read.
You like to read? And what are you reading right now?
Oh, man, I never can remember the names of the books okay. I'm reading.
What goes on in it? Maybe I've read it.
I just finished a new book about Alex Cross.
Uh-huh.
That's a Patterson book.
Oh, one of those whodunits?
Yeah, I like detective.
Kinda. Yeah, my
scary.
Wife reads those, yeah. Detective things.
Patricia Cornwell.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah. Escapists, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you watch on TV? You know, same thing?
Detective a lot book? Of HGTV.
HG?
Property Brothers.
Oh, the Property Brothers. I hate them so much. Rich guys making millions.
And I actually go to a lot of movies.
Do you?
Oh, you do. We went to see Spectre last night.
And did you love it?
No.
No. No. Thank you very much.
No, and what? I don't like Daniel Craig.
No, he's got no. What's to like of? I mean, I don't mean to. He's probably a wonderful human being one-to-one.
I mean, I know the movie's supposed to be unrealistic, but this was really...
I did not pay for it, and it was a bad copy. Yeah, you did. But that helicopter thing, I would have walked out right in the middle of the helicopter flight.
And I mean, really, where did he learn to fly helicopters and airplanes? And
it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a James Bond that you liked?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of his name though. Yeah. Really a long time ago, the older
The first
guy.
One?
Yeah.
The
You know who I mean.
Yeah. See, if I was a film critic, it would be great. You know, the guy who was in the original one there.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, he was good.
Yes, my daughter has a picture of him in her bathroom, of all places, as Bond.
All right, moving right along. Sean Connery. That'd be scary to walk in the bathroom and see Sean Connery over your toilet. I don't care who you are. So, okay, good. And Debbie, someone there plays along with you. And then how does this work, Stephanie Lee?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, the Unicode Consortium. Oh, this is kind of bomb. Hmm. The Unicode Consortium is a body that decides what gets to be what. There's a thing now. It's obviously in computing, and one would think possibly in computing graphics or language. There's a consortium that controls all that, so they decide what gets to be what. If you know anything about that, give us a call here, and we'll give you a lot of latitude. Jess on the line from Kansas. What's the number again?
That's 800-942-5669, 1-800-WA-NO, or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Okay, but Jess is on the line anyhow, Kansas City. Hey, Jess.
Hi. How are you doing, Michael?
Good. How about you?
I'm all right.
Yeah? How do you like them Royals, huh?
That's some team we got here, isn't it?
Yeah. They're a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate them taking care of the Mets for us. I'm a Cubs fan, so it was revenge for me.
Well, I have a good friend that's a Cubs friend, Cubs fan also, and we were kind of hoping that they could duke it out.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have showed up for all four games and needed to lose that one, I don't think. So Jess, are you comfortable now? I hear you rattling around there. Are you outside or inside or?
I'm inside.
Okay. What are you planning on doing today, Jess? Got some plans?
I've already done most of it. I've changed the oil.
Changed the oil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter's car. I think I'm done for the day.
What kind of oil? Can't you change your own oil? What's the matter with her? Okay. What'd you put in there? What'd you put in there? Did you put in the good stuff?
Oh, yes.
Synthetic?
Yeah. Getting ready for winter. No, a 1040.
1040. That works in all situations. Jess, did you ever hear about the Unicode Consortium?
As a matter of fact, I haven't.
All right, let me tell you something about it then. It's on the Internet, they have to decide things, what goes into the language that goes on the screens and all that stuff, all our screens and stuff. So they decide things like, you know, what symbols will be used and so forth. And so they decide, what sorts of things do you think they might decide symbolically in terms of your computer screen? Let me rephrase it. Did you ever hear about emojis, Jess?
Emojis? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay.
How about emojis?
Yes. Okay. I don't know, Jess. I just like you because you changed your daughter's oil, and you're getting back from that now. That's good. Did you put a new filter in there too, Jess?
I certainly did.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And Jess, this is Debbie.
Hey, Jess.
Hi, Debbie.
She's a nurse at not eye, but ear, nose, and throat.
You got it.
Yeah. Did you know eyes are not part of your eyes, nose, and throat anymore, Jess?
Do I what, Mike?
Oh, never mind. What do you do out there in Kansas City when you're not changing your daughter's oil, Jess?
I drive a truck.
Drive a truck?
Like a, yes, like a I do.
Cross country type guy or?
No, local.
Yeah.
Dump truck.
A dump truck. Oh, cool. Very cool. They let you take it home if you got some stuff you got to dump?
No, I prefer it this way too. I leave it at work.
Yeah, leave it at work. That'd be a good thing. All right, Jess, you and Debbie are a team right now, and we have various categories, have we not, Stephanie Lee?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Jess, what would you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news. Okay, there was a class action suit against Subway, and the question is, how long are Subway's footlongs, actually? Actual length.
Is this within 6 inches, Mike?
I don't know. Say it and we'll see.
I think we do this together. I think they're about 10
How exacting do I have to be?
Well, I don't know.
How about 10 and a half?
Oh.
I'd go with that.
You would go with 10 and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, 11 inches. I guess they let you have a half inch on this. Yeah, they you know, there's shrinkage when they bake them. But there's a class action suit. Now they got to give everyone 1 free inch of a hero sandwich. So that would be...
That's one right. The remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Debbie?
Science.
Science. What are you doing for your birthday besides coming here?
Well, this was the big event.
This is the big event? Okay. Our big events get smaller and smaller every day. All right, percentage of ants who are inactive half the time. You know, I always hear this thing about ants. You know, go thou to the ant, thou sluggard, or whatever that was. Percentage of ants who actually are doing nothing about half the time. Is it 37.3%, half, or 71.9% of all ants are doing nothing, even as we speak? Just sitting there.
Gee, I do nothing?
Yeah.
Debbie, what do you think about this?
I'm thinking it's pretty low.
That, I would think so, too. Ants are notoriously busy, aren't they? Working.
Yes, but is that a misnomer or a misapprehension?
Well, maybe it's
or,
more like 50%.
Is it a serious misapprehension or misnomer? Or is it really, are they overestimated?
Maybe we're really...
You're sure they can lift a lot.
We're really wrong, and it's the 73.
But do they, is the question. What?
Maybe it's that 73.
71.9%?
71.9.
71.9. I think I'd try that.
Yes, 71.9% are doing nothing. Ants. They studied this somewhere. I hope it wasn't here. Anyhow, they studied it somewhere, and they found that only 2.6% of ants are actually doing something right now.
That's amazing.
The ants comparisons. I don't want to hear them.
That's two right, and the remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to you, Jess.
We're not
How
time.
About things that we should have learned in school?
Okay, school. If you are an ungulate, what are you?
Those are animals that chew their cud.
Yeah, they are, but they have a particular ability.
Yes, they do. And so they would be like what?
A cow.
A cow or a horse or something like that?
Yeah.
That's right. Holy cow.
Debbie, when sometimes life presents an emergency, Andy, you'll have instant underpants. Just remove the small pellet from the handy tin, soak momentarily in water, and you're slightly damp but proper once more from Archie McPhee. Jess, you've won Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee to get your day off and running, and for afternoon relaxation, there's rich and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And many more prizes, which we will tell you about later. Congratulations to both of you.
Oh, you won a lot of stuff.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we hunt up some fun with Gary Isaacson in our place to be. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, someone who needs no introduction.
Oh, you know, each week at this time, we get actual memos sent in by actual listeners, just to prove we have them. Time for thanks for the memos. And we've got the holiday-killing memos we have. Well, each year they try and make your holiday as lousy as possible at work, you know, celebrating holidays at work. Why celebrate anything at work, I say? Except having a job might be a good idea. Anyhow, so where is my... Oh, yes. We got two of them here, so I thought I'd give them to you both because they're both the same thing about what you cannot do for the holidays. Let's do the Christmas dress code here. Here it is. Special Christmas dress code. Each Friday in December, December 4th, 11th, 18th, and 25th, approved to wear Christmas print scrub top, sweater, or blouse with black pants. Attire should be classified as business casual and does not include T-shirt or sweatshirt. Remember the importance of a quiet environment when looking at something with jingle bells. All clothing is subject to department leader's approval. Okay, so there's just a dress code. Now there's this one, which goes further. Christmas decorations. Administration has recently reviewed the longstanding restriction against using Christmas or holiday lights in our facilities. This was based on fire safety concerns since lights often produced heat sufficient to cause fire. Most miniature light sets no longer produce heat, nor do they pose a fire hazard when used according to directions. I never saw one that came with directions, though. That's the only problem. Permissible use and restrictions. No door, exit, smoke, fire, interior or exterior, hallways, or any other means of egress may be covered or blocked in any manner. Each department director is responsible for the inspection and approval of installations and use of their area's decorations. Combustible decorating materials such as straw, hay, bamboo, real Christmas trees, and other similar decorations are prohibited. Miniature lights are those lights that do not feel warm or hot to the touch may be used. Lighting should be tasteful. Large numbers of lights may not be used. Some fiber optic decorations have been recalled for possibly causing fire, so they are not acceptable at the current time. The use of holiday lights and light strings should be limited to reduce the possibility of overheating. Light strings shall not have more than three sets of strings connected together, and light cords and power cords cannot feel warm or hot to the touch. All electrical equipment, including lights, must be UL listed. Manufacturer warnings, precautions, and directions must be followed. Electrical light cords must be mounted in a manner that will not damage the cord's insulation. Extension cords are for temporary use only. Power strips or surge protectors with built-in circuit breaker must be used to power electrical decorations. Extension cords, power strips, or surge protectors must be UL listed, and the UL tag must not be removed. Power strips should be purchased with the following UL listings: UL1363A or UL60601-1 or UL1363. That's enough of that. Thank you so much for these memos and why we love the workplace at the holiday. Where can they send memos and anything they want to send us? Well, I'm happy to have it.
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Now, for those of us who might occasionally still use an envelope with a stamp on it,
where
would those
mail.
Go, Stephanie?
Oh, yeah.
Snail mail
options.
As you call it, yes.
The address for that would be 821 University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Okay. Do you have any stamps?
I do. I collect stamps.
I mean for use.
Yes, I have stamps for use as well.
Well, you do. So you occasionally will send a...
Yeah. I actually enjoy seeing what the new designs are every so often. Okay. Kind of a nerd like that.
No, not at all. Now, of course, you know, we had all the news that is. Now time for all the news that is around here. And I got this here from Eau Claire. This is... the big thing in Eau Claire right now is in Chippewa Falls, the Star Wars relaunch. Biggest thing going on right now in at Mikon Cinemas. Mike Olson's 40 years been in the movie business. He's never seen anything like it. But the interest in Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. that mania surrounding the film was evident to Olson on October 19th, the day for tickets and the latest in the long line of Star Wars movies went on sale. Fans were lined up all the way through Chippewa Falls into the flowage. Even though the film doesn't open until the 17th, they will the cinema Stadium 8 in Chippewa Falls will carry the film, while the Carmike Cinemas at Oakwood Mall will carry it in Eau Claire. The debut will be at 7 p.m., and, you know, tickets are going as high, of course, they're scalping tickets, they're going as high as $15 in Chippewa Falls. Olsen said that he's going to show it on all 8 screens because what the heck? He sold 200 tickets for the first screening. I know we've sold out one screen and probably stealing times from other movies. Steve Trier from Eau Claire is among the legions waiting for it. He said, and I quote, okay? Are you all right? Are you hyperventilating? Are you breathing in your fist?
Okay, now.
This story has so many great characters, and I want to see some of them along with whatever new characters they have come up with. So there you have it. There's pretty much of excitement, as you can see, in Eau Claire. But this is the most exciting thing now. Gary Isaacson of Mondovi is going on his 68th deer hunt on Wednesday. He's going up there with his buddies. We have him on the line with us right now. Gary Isaacson has been hunting since he was 15. He's older than that now. And so this is 68th deer season. So let's see if he's still excited about it. We have him on the line with us right now. Gary Isaacson. Hi, Gary. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Have you gone high-tech over the years with your deer hunt? So you got some high-tech stuff?
No.
No?
Not by any means.
Well, what's the highest tech thing you use on your deer hunts?
Well, I did try a scope 1 year. That's the highest tech, but that only lasted about 2 days, and I took that off.
Oh, yeah? What was wrong with it?
Well, where I hunt, I didn't grow up with it, so it's hard for me to use one of them. So.
You don't use anything you didn't grow up with?
No, I didn't have any to grow up with.
Yeah. No. Do you hunt in the same place that you did when you were 15?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't the deers pretty much cleared out by now? I would think they would see you coming.
I didn't lower it too much, but the elements and stuff, they're not anything like they used to be. So.
Yeah. The deer look, pretty much the same type of deer, or are they different types?
They're actually the same thing, only you won't find that their antlers and stuff aren't like they are down like here in Buffalo County or Eau Claire County in this department area.
Uh-huh. So where actually are you going to hunt then?
Pardon?
Where do you go?
It's on the Togetic River between Hayward and Minong.
Okay, don't tell me anything more. These things, do you actually go up and sit in something in a tree to do your hunting?
Yeah, you sit in a tree, you said?
Yeah, do you go up in a tree and sit?
No, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that.
Did you ever try that?
Pardon?
Did you ever try sitting in a tree and
I tried it. One of the boys put one up for me.
Yeah.
One only about 10 feet off the ground, and it still was too high for me. I don't mind heights, but I can't sit in a deer stand. So.
Yeah, because after all, you got to go to the bathroom or something like that.
To me, that ain't natural anyhow. So.
No, it's not a natural way of hunting.
No, not for me.
Yeah. You start to see deers in trees pretty soon if that continues. I'm against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever get a deer in 68 years, or are you still waiting for your first buck?
Well, you're always waiting for that first one, but no, I've got a few over the years.
So. Yeah.
I ain't running 50%, but I've got a few of them. So.
What do you do with the meat?
Oh, we use it.
You do?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you actually like, do you like deer meat, or is it just, that's not the point, is it?
Not really, but it's, let's put it this way, it tasted better years ago than it does now.
It tasted better years ago? Why?
Yeah, it just seemed like you're younger, you're more used to something different. See?
Yeah. So people
make the biggest mistake, they compare it to beef, and you can't do that.
No. It tastes like really weird beef.
Yeah.
So, do you make sausage, or what do you do?
We have done a little of that, yeah. Yeah, and some bologna and stuff. But the time you do that, you're getting some money into it. So.
Yeah. Did you ever hunt, like, all week? You go hunt and stuff, get nothing, and then one jumps through the window of your pickup truck?
Well, I ain't had that happen yet.
No.
No.
That would be kind of ironic if that happened.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Are these the same guys that you've been hunting with all these time?
Well, the guys that I used to, when I first started hunting, they're all gone now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the oldest one now.
So. You are?
Oh, yeah. The other ones never made it to my age either.
Yeah. The deer probably got them.
I suppose.
Ambushed by a deer, by a buck.
Yeah.
And is there like, you know, is it like with you know, and Moby Dick, you know, he was hunting that big white whale. Is there a buck that's been out there for a long time that you've been trying to get and you can't?
Not in the North Woods. You don't.
No.
You don't see that. Yeah. You know, the elements are much different. If it's a hard winter, them old bucks, they don't at least survive. They're gone. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, once in a while, I think one year or two before I started hunting up there, they got one deer with about 32 points on it.
Wow.
It was an old deer. Just why it survived, I don't know. But.
Yeah. Do you run into a lot of guys from Illinois and stuff up there? They come up that far to hunt?
No, where we hunt, we very seldom see anybody.
Yeah, because those guys, a lot of those guys come up from Chicago and never been hunting before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get around Hayward there. There is some of them, but we don't run into them unless they come in on the ATV, and that don't happen too often either. So.
No, and then are you going to go with the Blaze Pink this year?
I was just talking to my son here. I thought I ought to do that just for the novelty, but I kind of doubt it.
And you got to buy a whole new outfit, though.
Yeah.
Do you? Let me ask you this: do you believe in the deer urine or not?
No, I don't. I don't pay no attention to that. You mean something you put on to kill the scent? Or?
Yeah.
No, I don't use that.
Do some of the guys do that, and do you have to room with them?
If they do it, they have to hang their clothes outside. So.
is deer hunting, is it really just about deer camp, you know, like...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, you're going, last year we went up north hunting, and we never even saw a deer. But the weather was against us, too, but...
Did you go out and look for one, or you just never saw one?
No,
they didn't pass the door.
That camp has been noted for good hunters, so...
Yeah. But a lot of the guys just probably sit in there, play cards, and drink...
We don't even do that. You hunt from daylight till dark, and then you have supper, and then you're ready for bed. You probably read a little bit. Or tell a few deer stories or something. Or whatever.
Have you heard a good deer story you could tell us?
Not really. Yeah.
So they just tell bad deer stories.
We went out and got a deer one night, but it was wounded. That's the only reason we went out and got it.
Oh. Yeah. Is that legal?
I don't, not when you take a gun along with you, it ain't legal.
Okay, but if they're already wounded. And...
You can't track a deer and jump on his back and cut his throat with a knife either. So.
No. That's not fair.
No.
Okay. Jerry, ever have a year where you had to actually buy deer meat and bring that home to show you got something?
No. That would be against regulations. So.
Oh, okay.
Our regulations. So.
Yeah. Your regulations among the group?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so you're going up, on Wednesday?
Well, Wednesday or maybe Thursday's the latest, yeah.
Thursday's the latest.
Yeah, it just depends on whether I ain't got done going through all my hunting clothes yet. I don't know what I need to buy new this year. So.
Yeah, what are you thinking about, boots or something?
Well, boots is my main thing. I got all the rest of stuff, so.
Yeah, I would think you got probably duplicate of most of it, huh?
Yeah.
And what are you using for a weapon?
I don't know. I might go back to my dad's old 30-30 this year, lighter to carry and everything. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I'm sure he would like that, to know you're out there.
Yeah, that's about 80 years old now, I guess. So.
Yeah. And is it still in pretty good shape? Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody's hunted with it for the last 6-7 years, I guess.
Yeah. Probably you should take it to the gun shop first, don't you think, just to make sure?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I'll just take it out here and shoot in the bank, and if it shoots, that's fine.
I like your attitude, Gary.
Huh?
I like your attitude. It's a good attitude.
Yeah.
You're an inspiration to all the
I don't anticipate shooting anything anyhow.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good hunt to me.
Yeah.
Gary, we just want to send you our best wishes on your 68th hunt out there. Are you you think you got 68 more in you?
Well, I sure hope so. This will make 68 years, and yeah. I wanted to make it to 70, but I don't know if I'll make it or not. So.
Gary, great to talk with you. Gary,
if I try and take it a little easy, I might be able to make it.
So. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Nice talking to you, Gary. Good luck on this hunt.
Same here. Yeah, bet.
Gary Isaacson from Mondovi, ladies and gentlemen, is 68th hunt. And that's all the news that is. All right. 68. Went on his first hunt with his dad, age 15. All right.
Alrighty.
You never actually hunted with your. You got that.
Not deer. My dad never liked to hunt deer. My nephews go deer hunting.
Yeah. Well, what did your dad do with that big over and under or whatever? What was it?
Well, he hunted ducks and maybe small animals. But
yeah. Varmints?
Foxes, when there probably were foxes around.
Any varmints?
Varmints, yeah. That's a varmint.
That's a varmint. Did you ever go on those things? That's kind of bonding thing.
Not really. I didn't really like it.
What's the matter with you?
I like to go out and like target shoot, but I didn't want to shoot any animals.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's coming up on look up there for.
Yeah, so don't be out in the woods with like a brown stocking hat with a big white ball on the top. That's my safety tip for the deering.
Good advice. Say that number that you wrote there, that wasn't really nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
And you got another one for us here?
Yeah, I didn't write this one, but this is a Cole Porter tune called Get Out of Town.
Get Out of Town. Cole Porter. John and Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Same way then, but I can't remember where or when. You know, that song starts off like where or when. That's why I've been singing it.
The melody is similar, but this one was in a minor key, and where or when is in a major key.
So. Well, aside from that, the melody is similar.
Yeah, the melody is similar. You're
right. That's why I've been singing where or when, because I heard you playing that earlier.
I know. I tried to tell you. You didn't listen.
The same way then. You know what I don't like about where or when? It has that beautiful...
It's in
heaven. It's very lyrical, and it goes a little choppy stuff there, you know. See, it ruins the song because it's otherwise where, when, and it's very.
You don't have to phrase it like that.
Oh, you have to. You have to. And in the other, in the same way, then, but I can't remember. See, it ruins the song. Who wrote that? Where, when? Very nice. Okay,
don't know.
You don't know. Maria Erdman from Plymouth. Now, I'd say Plymouth because we had a big group here of like five generations from Plymouth, Wisconsin, right? Four?
No, we're not all from Plymouth. We just traveled.
Okay, but you're five generations, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, then I don't want to talk to you. It's only four generations. I thought it was, is that, are you, would you, yeah, raise your hand if you're all from that same generational group there. We got a genome here, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Plymouth genome. That's what I'm calling it. Let's meet the entire genome. They all share genetic material. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's pretty special. And four generations, but didn't you tell me five? Who's the spokesman for your genome?
We were debating if it was three or four generations. I was trying to put it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
there's four?
There's four.
Can you go through the whole, like, the tree of the whole... Can I stand up for a second?
Well, this is my father. Yeah. And
so you're at the top of the tree.
Yeah. Papa D.
Papa D. What's
his name is Richard, Dick.
Yeah, okay. And what's the last name, though, for everybody?
R-O-T-T.
Mama Linda.
Yeah, yeah. Mama Linda. Okay, at the top of the tree. Then let's go down the branches.
Well, okay. Well, I would be the next generation.
Okay.
Okay, and my name's Amy, but and then I have some of my children here with me as well.
You're on the next branch down.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob.
Bob and
Andy.
Yeah.
I'm Amber.
Yeah.
Significant others.
Right, right. And then
they're hanging from the bough, I guess you could say.
Okay. And then
yes, Jared. Yeah, Jared.
Yeah.
David.
David, okay.
Tammy,
and then?
I'm not with them.
Are you sure you're not under the tree somewhere?
I'm sure.
And then the dangling branch here.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I'm Kaylin.
Okay, so you are the
fourth generation.
Fourth generation?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the winner, Kaylin. Congratulations. All the best. Come down here to Kaylin. Okay, and so the family name you would say then, really to be technical, is?
Rote.
And that's R-O-T-T?
R-O-T-T, yes. We have three pharmacists here, too.
That's really weird. There's no explanation for that.
56 years as a registered pharmacist. And Andy is in pharmacy school.
So there's actually a gene for it passed down through the Rote.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yep. Another one, too?
Yeah, my aunt.
Pharmacist?
And my girlfriend is also in pharmacy school.
So they attract one another.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What do we have for the Rote genome?
Oh, sure. So for a casual buffet or formal dinner by candlelight, set your table with Domaine du Sec and Prairie Fumé wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
We need about, what, four bottles?
For this many people, I have no idea.
One for each generation.
Let's see.
Each generation gets its own bottle.
Sure, let's do that.
Four. Okay, cool. Is that all right?
Terrific.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you for being here. All right. All right, so Rachel and Amanda are from Green Bay, and they're high school students, but they're thinking about going to Minnesota instead of Madison, ladies and gentlemen. Where are Rachel and Amanda, and how can we straighten them out? Huh? Are they here? Well, they had left. Apparently, they went to Minnesota. Rachel and Amanda. Okay. They're gone. Well, that's too bad. Okay. High school students. It'll be somewhere. Therapist from Appleton, Mark Morrison, says, how did your mother treat you? None of your damn business. I'm not your patient. Last thing I do is talk about it to her. She was good. My mother was very good. Thanks for asking. All right. How'd your mother treat you, Mark? Pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Well, like I said, yeah, very good. She was very good. She was always there. My mother did too much for me. You know, if I wanted to go bowling, my mother would call up the lanes and reserve the lanes for me and even get the shoes. You know, size six, you know, so I... That was probably too much, but she did too much rather than too little. So there you go. But that's just my mother. Have you ever had anyone go into labor on your show? Abby, are you okay? Where are you? Are you here? Is she gone? She's in front there. Okay. No, we had actually a woman called up one time, and we were down to counting the pains. She was playing the quiz, so we had to get it in pretty quick. And it worked out just fine, but how close are you?
3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah, well, hopefully not.
No, I mean, you know, it's not. Okay, it's cool. That's cool. That's cool. And is this your first?
Yes.
Wonderful. Oh. Going to be a wonderful. And we got a name. You know what it's going to be or anything?
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
It's a baby. It's a baby. It's a baby. It's
the best way to go, I think. Okay. You're okay, though, if I hear you, you need anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'm good. Okay. Very nice. And it's Hunley?
Hunley, yeah. Yep, Hunley. Absolutely. It's going to be great.
Did you go do the baby class thing yet?
No. I mean, we use the internet. I think you can't go wrong there.
You can have a baby on the internet now. That's pretty amazing, really. The whole thing is...
So it's the age we live in, right?
That's great. We had to go to baby class. That's where you take a pillow with you, and you go to some building downtown with a pillow, and you feel like an idiot. And it has nothing to do with having a baby. I don't see what having a pillow has to do with having a baby. It didn't help at all. Okay, well, congratulations. Why does Matthew say I'm pathetic? Karen Morrison. Who is Matthew and why would he say... Is that the guy who's a therapist?
No.
Called you pathetic? He's a therapist and he called you pathetic?
Therapist's son.
Therapist's son?
Yeah, it's Matthew.
How did your father treat you?
Most of the time, pretty darn good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty lucky.
This pathetic.
Sometimes you got to call a spade a spade.
Who is pathetic for doing what?
Oh, yeah, now pat her on the insult.
I got news for you. A pat on the knee does not make up for an insult like that.
Well, how about unconditional love? That'll make up for it.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, for what?
Because I couldn't think of a question. I had already told you. Well, because I couldn't think of a question. Yeah. And he said, that's pathetic, Mom.
Well, that's just being a kid, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a word they use. They mean it, but it's just a word they use.
Well, it's... No, I...
Have you thought of a question?
No.
No! It's not important.
It's important. This is really important. Look at us. We're here. This is important.
Okay. Well, can you... I'll give you another chance here. You got a question? Look at the therapist. He'll just say, how do you feel about that? Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're fine. You're a good person. Let's see here. Get away from the... Oh, we've got more Plymouth people. Okay. Wilson Kiersey, Madison, Wisconsin, third grade. Coin collector. It says, I'm a coin collector. What kinds of coins do you have in your pocket right now? All right, let's just see. I got in here. You collect all kinds of coins?
I like old stuff from U.S.
Uh-huh. Like how old?
Before
1980 or something?
My oldest one is 1851.
Holy cow! Let's see what's in your pocket, young man. Yeah. Oh, you got good because I got nothing, and I got. What are those?
I have presidential dollars, a Sacagawea, and a 1967 quarter.
67 quarter? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was around in 67. Doesn't seem old to me. Oh, yeah. I think I had that quarter in 67. Yeah. Sacagaweas are nice. Mm-hmm. I'll see what I got in my... Anything here valuable? Because you know.
What's this? Yeah. This? 1967 quarter.
Oh, isn't that amazing? We both have 67 quarters.
They're twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's nice.
Well, I got a penny. It looks...
50 cents, not $50.
Is it? No. Who's
50 here? Cents.
Really?
Yep. 1883D.
It looks like older than that.
Well, sometimes it gets bummed up.
Yeah. Okay. You want this penny here? It looks ancient. You want it?
Sure.
Here. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. What the heck? It was a penny. All right, there's coin collecting part of the show. What did you want to do when you were a child? Who remembers? Ethan Horton?
That's me.
Hey, Ethan Horton. What do you want to do? You're a child, right? What do you want to do?
I kind of have like a mix of things. I really don't know, but like...
What are you thinking about?
Well, right now I work at my mom's coffee shop. That's kind of like my hobby.
So you're You're a barista there?
Yeah. And
can you make those little designs in the coffee with the?
I only make the house coffee right now. And otherwise, I just I do the register and I do the pastries.
What do you do with the pastry besides eat them?
Well, I give them to people.
Oh, okay, that's great. And so then, what are you thinking about other things you want to do or things you want to be or?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you don't have to. You have to, you know. How old are you?
I am 10 years old.
Yeah, you have until you're 12 to decide what you want to be in life. Yeah. Football player.
Well, I do like to play football, yeah. And I also like to play baseball, but I don't know which one, like, I should play because I like them both.
Yeah. Well, if it's between the Brewers and the Packers, it's going to be a tough choice. And then what other field? You know, doctor or?
No, not a doctor. My dad was a nurse, though. That's close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Well, plenty of time to think about it. I can't. When I was a child, I wanted to be a bachelor scientist. I did. I wanted because I thought it was a good way to meet. All right, I was a kid. All right, and I thought I'd be like me and my buddy Dick Friedel. We were going to be live together as have a science pad. I was going to have an electric opening door, and you just walk in the door, just like in the supermarket, you know. It was our science pad. And we were going to do science, and we were going to, you know, swinging bachelor scientists. I don't know where I got that idea.
My favorite subject is science.
Oh, there you go.
So I might want to be a scientist. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So that's one of my ideas.
Yeah. You know, there's no pressure here at all. You don't have to come up with anything, really, for a long time. 2 years. I want to know what you're going to do. We got to start planning for it.
Well, better start thinking about it now than thinking about it in 2 years.
Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. I'm just kidding. We got something for you, though. What do we got that he would... We have anything science-related, or...?
I don't think we do. We have something math-related, but I don't
know...
Math?
I
really
do you like math?
Really likes All
right.
Math, yeah.
Okay, well, learn and have fun at the same time with Flashmaster... Handheld computer that makes math flashcards obsolete. I think math flashcards, though, maybe a little, we'll find something for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice to talk with you. Ethan Horton. Working for a living already. You got to find another occupation. We also do have rural mail carriers here, and I would like to say hello to them because they're great guys. They deliver the mail, and they listen to What Do You Know in disproportionate numbers, we've discovered. The Chiziks, Belinda and Lauren. There they are, the Chiziks, ladies and gentlemen. Over here. So you're a farmer and you're a mail carrier. Can I get you to stand up here? Would you mind? Can I get you to stand up, too? Stand up together. Look like you belong together.
How are you? I'm good.
And where are your routes out there in Prentice?
One out of Phillips, one up to Lugerville, and we also got one in Brantwood and AAA.
There's a Lugerville?
Yes.
It's Phillips. It's in Phillips.
Really? How'd that get named?
I think maybe it was some guy's last name that had a sawmill.
Oh, that's probably what it was.
Oh, there you go.
And you're both carriers?
And our son.
And your son as well?
Yes.
How many cars you got?
Four.
So you got one more child who's in some other occupation?
Well, we got four cars for the mail routes, but you want to count all of them?
And aren't you supposed to be working today?
I'm supposed to. The sun's working.
Your son is covering your routes?
Yes. Yeah, he's covering one.
Where is he? Is in Lugerville by now? Or?
He better be.
Because you cover for one another if you have to take a Saturday off or something?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a few subs. Yeah.
In the holidays, they leave you gifts in the mailbox?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got good customers.
Yeah. So what do you expect? Know what you need? You know,
usually a bottle of bourbon, bottle of wine.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you farm as well?
Yes.
So what do you farm at?
Where?
Or what?
Oh, we got 10 head of beef. We're a little small right now, just starting out, but pretty soon we should have 13 because we're buying two, and one of them is pregnant.
Okay. So, well,
yeah.
So what do you need the tractor for?
Spread manure.
Oh, of course. What am I thinking of? Okay. Well, very nice to have you here, the Chiswicks. And we have, are you able to listen to What Do You Know on your route?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Yeah. Does that slow things down or speed them up?
Don't make a difference.
Don't make a difference. There's an endorsement. What do we have for the Chiswicks? Our rural mail carriers from Prentice.
Add festive cheer to your holiday entertaining with scrumptious award-winning wine from the
Wollershine
Winery.
Thank you very much.
You.
Do not drink before delivering. Okay, thank you. Chiswicks from Prentice. That's coming right along.
I knit when I listen to you normally.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. We're going to play another round of the quiz because you saw what happened before. It could happen again. Yes. Okay. Did you want to play? Is that what you... Well, of course. Well, she's right here, and she's obviously interested in doing this, so it saves me an entire spiel. Just letting her do it. And what do you got? Is that what you won?
It's what I got.
Oh, you're wearing shades. I was wondering why suddenly...
He got the flash mask.
It's also in Hollywood on me. He's wearing his cow shades here.
It's also my mom's birthday.
It's my birthday.
All right. Well,
more wine.
More
why not?
Wine. Yeah.
Why not?
Come on down here if you would. And in the quiz area, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You are?
Emily.
Emily, you're from around here, Emily?
I'm from Madison.
From Madison. Yeah. Okay. Welcome here then, because you're already here.
Yeah.
Emily, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I'm here with my mom. It's our first time. Got to show her proud.
For your mom. There she is. Come on up, Emily. Come on. Give her. This is not easy to do. There's no rules for this. This is for her mom. So what are you doing down there, Emily?
So I work for Sarah's Cycling Group. I'm a bike coordinator for our parking division.
Okay. Let me see if I can get this straight. I'm sure I can, but. You work for what?
Sarah's Cycling Group.
Sarah's Cycling Group.
Sarah's. So it's like a mix of Sarah's and, like, Sarah and Chris.
Chris, the funeral home? Or?
No, like Chris, like a gentleman's name, Chris.
Sarah and Chris.
Yep, so it's Sarah's.
Okay, and yep. They have a cycling group.
Yes, so we make bike racks for cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay. What else do you make them for?
For parking, like... Yeah. So I work for
the parking division. Sarah's.
So like rooms you for park your bike in.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And are you a biker yourself?
Big,
heavy duty, real deal?
Yeah. I'm in deep. I have a tattoo of my bike on me. So
you have a tattoo on your bike? I won't ask to see it.
All right. Well,
okay. Yeah, she wants to show me. Yeah. I'll let her show me.
Gotta show it off.
Okay.
Pretty proud of it.
You have your bike on your arm.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's a nice bike.
Thank you.
Show everybody. Thanks. There it is. She wears her bike on her arm, ladies and gentlemen. She's in deep. And how long have you been to this little cycling thing?
12 years.
12 years?
Yeah. We'll see, when I was 12.
Yeah. And every day you cycle?
I do, yep.
And what sort of mileage are we talking here?
Ooh, about 5 or 10 miles.
5 or 10 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you go on these... Big epic.
I do. So yeah. I also race mountain bikes and
do
a little touring. So
yeah.
It's a good time.
Did you get that from your mother? Is she?
I did. She's a big cyclist as well.
Okay.
Through the country.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Friends in our family.
Oh, that's really cool. Very cool. Well, nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us today. And I know it's your first time, so I'm trying to make this good for you. And someone out there. No, that sounded terrible. I know, but I actually didn't mean anything that's on your minds. Okay, anyhow, so help me out here, Stephanie. Well, yeah, we got categories or something. Don't worry. How do they play the quiz? Just tell me something.
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this.
You're a biker too, aren't you?
I am. I actually just did a cycling class this morning before I came in.
Do you do that weird stationary thing?
Yeah, and it's intense. There's strobe lights.
Is it done at psych?
No, I went to flight out in Middleton. Yeah.
So. You prefer flight to psych?
I'm just doing this now because they gave me a bunch of free classes, and I thought I'd try it out. It's my first time doing those classes. It's pretty fun.
Do you do anything stationary, or you like to move?
I do not. I like to move.
You like to move. Okay,
I do
so
as well,
that?
But I've had so many accidents that I don't want to risk it anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's what I would. That's the way I would go. In fact, I would go stationary and not even move.
You can do that, too.
Because you can only hurt yourself. How can they call in here and then... Did you give that number?
Yeah, I did. But once more, they should dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, if a Brit gives you a V sign, what does it mean? I will tell you that it is not for victory. A Brit gives you a V sign in England or one of the UK countries. What does it mean? A Brit gives you a V sign. What does it mean? Let's go to the phones right now. Deborah, the bike lady, is from Brown Deer, and she's another bike lady. We're surrounded by them. Hey, Deborah.
Hi. Actually, I'm from Marquette, Michigan, but I'm staying in Brown Deer right now.
Oh, you are? Okay. With a friend?
Yes, you could say that.
Okay. I don't want to really get involved. Whatever you say is fine with me. Deborah, you're a bike lady, too?
Yes, I've been riding my bike exclusively, no cars, except for a ride occasionally from someone for the past 6 years.
Oh, that's good. And has your fitness improved? Do you feel better about life in general?
Oh, I do. I can ride a bike better than I can walk. I need a new hip. But I have an idea for the other contestant you've chosen. I think they should build a hoop, like an enclosed bike trail. They could start with some kind of material, but make like a hoop, like so it's like an enclosed bike trail to keep it free of snow.
What? An enclosed bike trail?
Yeah, I think they could experiment with that.
Yeah, yeah, so if you go in the rain, you don't get wet. Is that the idea?
Well, snow, actually. To avoid snow, so biking in the wind make biking in the winter easier.
Yeah. I thought you meant like a mouse thing, like a mouse wheel. Or you just okay.
You need to get out more often.
Okay. If a Brit gives you a V sign, Deborah, what does it mean?
You know, my first thought was a cigarette.
Oh, they want
a cigarette. I mean, I would like a cigarette or maybe peace.
Yeah, no, it's not peace and it's not cigarette, I'm afraid.
Okay, but it was nice talking with you.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
Okay, take care.
Right, thanks, bye. Carla's in La Crosse. Carla, did you ever get a V sign from a Brit?
I have not.
Okay. Any idea what that might mean?
Does it mean have a good day?
No, it does not.
What could it mean?
I don't really have to go through all the permutations with you because I'm the quizmaster.
A little hint?
No, come on, Carol. Thank you, though. Try us again. Okay, bye. Andy's in Green Bay. Hey, Andy.
Howdy.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Are you a hunter, Andy? You going out?
No, but my friend likes to tell me about all the deer he killed. So
yeah.
I see him hanging up with them occasionally.
He's hanging up his deer?
When he shoots them, yeah. When he doesn't shoot them, he doesn't hang them up.
No, that'd be the way to go. Anyhow, so if a Brit gives you a V sign, what does that mean, Andy?
Isn't that essentially the same as the middle finger?
I think you got it, Andy. It's not for victory. It's for something else. Yeah, it's not a good thing. Actually, they do that to you. Looks like they're being friendly, but they're not. So just so you know.
Last caller was kind of right with have a good day, weren't they?
Yeah, if they're being ironic about it, I guess. Have you been in Britain? Has that happened to you?
Not that I saw.
Yeah. So what does your knowledge of the British come from?
I don't know. I hear a lot of stories. I have been there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you didn't get the V.
I might have. I just didn't see it.
Okay, Andy, what do you do there in Green Bay?
I work for an insurance company.
Oh, you do? Okay, one that we'd know?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, don't tell us. Because we don't want to get the pitch, you know. we all need homeowners and all that kind of stuff. And, Andy, this is Emily.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Emily.
There you go. You bonded. That's good. Do you ride a bike at all, Andy? Are you a biker, too?
I bike to work occasionally, and I like to bike my kids around. But other than that, I wouldn't call myself a biker.
Okay. Whatever you want to call yourself is fine with me. Do you work as a team now, Andy and Emily? It's cooperative, collaborative, and we have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
What about those Packers, huh, Andy?
That's kind of scary right now.
Yeah. What do you think the problem is? You live up there. You know these guys.
I don't know. I guess they don't look like they're playing very hard.
That's it. Okay. Andy, pick a category. Which one would you like?
Science.
Science it is. Very popular category. Children's self-esteem. They have found is established by a certain age. Is it 5, 15, or 25?
I would say 5.
I don't know. You would say Emily, 5? I'm thinking young is my thought. What do you think?
She said 5.
5 sounds good to me.
Yeah, by age 5. So work on your self-esteem at 4 at the latest. That would be...
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Things you should learn in school.
Okay. Where'd you go to school here in
Madison? Nina High School.
Nina.
Yep. I'm from Nina.
The Fighting Rockets.
Rockets. Yeah.
See, I was
that's
up there.
Awesome.
They actually got a rocket.
We do. Yeah.
We did a show up there once.
Blasting
time.
Off.
Got a high school with its own rocket. You know, they could really just fire it at Menasha.
That's right. The big rivalry. That's impressive.
Yeah. What did you say you wanted? Odds and ends?
Let's do things you should learn in school.
School. Oh, school. Okay. Yep. That's right. That's what we got in that talk. Do Siamese fighting fish actually fight? And are they Siamese? Let's just say with fight. Do they actually fight?
Yes. Aggressively, yeah.
Have you had them?
I think I've seen something on the internet about it.
Okay.
You know.
Andy?
These are Siamese fighting fish, not Japanese?
Siamese. The Siamese ones.
I don't know if they're different or not. I'm pretty sure they fight. I like that scene in Naked Gun.
Yeah, that scene in Naked Gun. Does that involve the Siamese fighting fish?
They called it a Japanese, but I think it ate Frank Drebin's nose.
Oh, interesting. So the answer is yes, then?
I would go with yes.
Yes?
I'm saying yes.
Yes, yes, they fight. But they're not really Siamese, so that could be a problem with Frank Drebin's nose.
That's 2 right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
All right, Andy, back to you.
Places sounds good.
Where'd you go to school there in Green Bay? West?
East. Definitely east.
Oh, boy. Sorry to say that, then. What would you like?
I had a good time there.
What would you like?
Places.
Places, okay. All right, if it's obese adults you're after, look no farther than one of the following. Is it Wisconsin, the District of Columbia, or Arkansas? The creme de la creme.
That's hard.
I know Wisconsin's pretty obese, but I swear they're not the worst.
Okay. Talk it over.
I can't talk poorly about Wisconsin. My other tattoo is the state of Wisconsin, so.
I won't ask where that is, but I.
Well, let's see it.
So I'm going to.
Everything you like
Arkansas.
Is tattooed on you. Is that pretty much any others that we should know about?
Maybe.
Okay. Wisconsin, the District of Columbia, or Arkansas, we want to know which one of those is the leader in obesity for adults.
I think I would lean towards southern states, so Arkansas sounds good to me.
You say Arkansas.
Perfect. Works for me.
Arkansas, yeah. We're way down the list now. We went down. We're down to 31.2% obese. That's a big plummet for us. And Arkansas is 35.9. So, okay. Oh, that means they won, but you don't have to quit right now. You can go for the...
The mother load.
The mother load.
The mother load, Michael.
Well, how does that work, Stephanie? How do you get that?
If they get this next one right, I believe they win the mother load.
You believe they do?
I believe they do.
So just one more, but if they get it wrong, then they lose everything.
That doesn't seem fair.
Okay, so you want to go on, Andy? And,
go for the mother load.
Yeah.
Andy, I believe in you.
Me, but whatever you want.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
This is it for the money here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Everything. And we have some categories left, don't we?
We do. So for the mother load, your remaining categories are current events, people, or odds and ends.
Current events, people, odds and ends. Emily, what would you like?
I like odds and ends.
You do? Okay.
That works.
Odds and ends. Okay, this is a question on insomnia and the suffering of. Who suffers more from insomnia, hunter-gatherers or state office workers?
I'm going to have to go state office workers. Andy, what do you think?
State office workers, she says, Andy.
Well, I was thinking hunter-gatherers because they always have to be on alert.
That's true.
Interesting. And state office workers don't, you're saying?
Depends on how good you are to your coworkers.
All right. You feel pretty confident about you?
I feel pretty confident.
Have you worked for the state?
I have not.
Okay.
But yeah.
Good feeling about that.
Yeah.
Andy, what, do you want to go with her good feeling, or you got one of your own?
Which one's a good feeling?
I'm going to say the state office workers.
She has a state office worker tattooed on her other appendage there. So.
Well, how good do you feel about it, Michael?
About her tattoos? I feel very good about it. Surprisingly good.
I'll go with Emily.
Yes, state office workers, 30% suffer from insomnia. Hunter-gatherers, a low 2.5%. Or it could be 25%, I can't tell.
Emily, you've won a one-year membership in the Puzzle Society, Games to Maintain Your Brain, along with Wonder Word Treasury Volumes 13, 14, 35, and 38, all from UniversalUClick.com. And then gain insight to the netherworld of Scrabble with the memoir Word Nerd, Dispatches from the Games, Grammar, and Geek Underground by John D. Williams Jr., former executive director of the National Scrabble Association.
Wow, anything worth having?
Get serious with Karen Kelsey's The Professor Is In, The Essential Guide to Turning Your PhD into a Job from Three Rivers Press. And if raw ambition fails, there's Ella Luna's The Crossroads of Should and Must, Find and Follow Your Passion from Workman Publishing. Andy, find out what happened to Michael's dream
of
having his own observatory with chemicals and an electric eye to open the door and something I said, innuendo and out the other, including the CD My Life the Musical, performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. Then sew an authentic Delta Diner patch on your shirt, and you'll be ready to take orders for the Blue Plate Special at the Delta Diner in the Wisconsin Northwest near Iron River. Tie a camouflage Gone Huntin' bandana on your dog for a brisk walk in the woods from Stellaware.com, and carry your stuff around like a rocket scientist in a tote bag from the Huntsville-Madison County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Congratulations to both of you.
She got much better stuff than Andy did. We gotta send them.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's
Emily.
Tweets, and play our online quiz. Yeah. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Join us for our next live broadcast of What Do You Know? Here at Moneta Terrace next Saturday, November 21st. Our special guest will be Texas singer Kinky Friedman, plus some novelty fun with Archie McPhee. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer. With assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook.
Yo.
Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert.
Yeah. Make a wave. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week with Kinky Friedman. Boys in the band. Stephanie! Thank you all. We gotta keep applauding. One more minute. Thanks all for making the trip. And are you sure we have another minute?
Well.
Boy, Boy, a minute can be a long time when you're in radio. Okay. A very good whoop over there. Thank you for that. That's John Tooling on the piano, Jeff Hammond on the bass, Stephanie Lee. From Kentucky.
And Michael Feldman.
I'm from around here. Oh, come on, please. Please stay in your seats.
PRI, Public Radio International.